The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers Paul Danner Jr. and Jim Ozarski take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome into the Walkout BBP, the Bengals Beat podcast, presented, as always, by 50 West Brewing Company. Paul Danner Jr., Fletcher Page, and on the wheel, Kareem Elgazar. Because you never make questionable lane changes. You know how to get us home.
I'm a wheel man.
You're a wheel man.
Sam would say.
Yes. I've got the navigation, so perhaps Siri will be talking to us as we peruse. We're on. So it's not the walk out. It's kind of the drive out as we head back to the hotel after the Bengals take the L in Carolina, 31-21. How'd your game go, Kareem?
Well, from a professional standpoint, from photography, I had a pretty solid game. But again, watching the Bengals, especially that last interception, one of the last interceptions, that the ball was intended for John Ross.
Yeah.
And Dante Jackson, I believe. It was the second interception of the game.
Yes.
You know, like I tweeted out, you know, you see a play like that, and then you want to cue up the oh no sound effects from the Scott Van Pelt show, you know. So that was the main takeaway for me. I was like, Bengals looks like they're coming back, and then oh no.
Let's talk about that. Fletcher, you talked to Tyler Boyd after, and he had, I'm not going to call it discriminatory stuff to say. I'm not going to say it was a total throw your teammate under the bus, but I think there was an acknowledgement that there was not enough fight in John Ross on either of those two plays. And honestly, outside of the one touchdown pass, these have been three very disappointing games for him.
Yeah, he was targeted seven times today, three catches, only 16 yards, and he was nowhere to be found in the locker room when we came in.
Dipped. After
the
game. He was gone.
And so I think the two interceptions that Dalton threw, two of them were two were to John Ross. One was a 50-50 ball that it looked like he didn't have any spark, like he just couldn't get up. And then the other one, I don't know if it was confusion or if he just stopped running or what happened, but it was a bad look. So, you know, Tyler Boyd didn't call him out or anything, but I think when you're starting to get questions about your want to, or did you do enough to try to help your quarterback out? It's only week three. It's not a good look there.
Well, and it's one thing if, okay, well, what other direction can you go? But Josh Malone has, when in the few opportunities he has not really looked great. In fact, an interception came on him not being able to get open on a slant where the ball got tipped up in the air, and maybe it was an ill-advised pass, probably a little bit by Andy trying to shove it in there, but he's given his receiver a chance to make a play, and he just didn't get open and couldn't make it. If there's one thing to take away offensively, that it's tough enough. They're losing weapons. Joe Mixon goes down, and A.J. Green goes down, and, you know, they still were, for the most part, able to move the ball. But what's been glaring is they don't have that other receiver spot that we felt so good about through camp and in preseason has really fallen flat in the first 3 weeks, and that's something that they've just got to figure out.
Do you think, though, that other receiver spot, you're talking about to stretch the field?
Sure.
Okay, because I thought Tyler Boyd, not only in this,
yes,
not only today's performance, but in previous, the two previous performances, he could, I think, provide that solid second receiver
spot. He has. No, and he is. And I don't have a problem with Tyler Boyd. I thought Tyler Eifert looked really good today. Yeah. I thought, you know, that was vintage classic Dalton to Eifert on the one ball. You had the great photo of Eifert basically reaching for the ball around the other dude.
He ripped it away.
It was where Dalton will throw the ball over the top of seeing the back of a defender's helmet and knowing Tyler will just go up and snag it over top of him. We saw that a ton in 2015, and I thought that was a really good sign the way he played today. But
you don't want to do that too much, though. I mean, in my opinion, because you know you like you got to keep him on the field.
No, well, I mean,
those are the kind of plays that
he played a lot. But he's played a lot. I think he looked healthy today, and if that, not that he hasn't in the past, but I think you saw a lot of the things that he can bring to you on the field today. So I thought that was probably pretty encouraging.
I thought the first drive was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, there were three tight end sets. AJ did some things. I thought Gio was diverse on that first drive. I mean, that was the offense, like, really rolling really well.
And then
in the fourth quarter.
Well, but you know what? Because here's the thing. And we're sitting here talking about the offense, and we shouldn't. We need to talk about a defense that is honestly becoming a massive concern for this team going forward. And that, you know, they've given up all these points. Now, this is the worst third down conversion rate that they've had through three games under Marvin Lewis. 52% they're giving up on third down. So they were bad coming into it. They gave up 6 of 13 today. Third and longs. Teams are really targeting Drake Kirkpatrick, and they've been able to take advantage. But it's been everybody's played a role in it. And then today, you know, Christian McCaffrey, his career high rushing yards on the ground is 66, and he ran for 184. I mean, you can't give up 230 yards on the ground. And we're talking a lot after the game. There was a lot of talk about, oh, the ball bounced the wrong way because, you know, Carlos had the strip sack and Sam Hubbard somehow couldn't fall on it. And then you have a tip ball here that you don't get, and the other team does on the tip ball. But Nick Vigil said it perfect after the game. He said, yeah, that's all fine, this and that. We couldn't stop the run, and that's why we lost, period. You give up 230, that's all. And this defense was masked the first 2 weeks because of the turnovers. And the win, they in big spots, right? But now, it's obvious, if they don't get the turnovers, this is what it looks like.
And this is kind of, I think it's fair and safe to say, it's kind of a trend now. You know, the first game against the Colts, you're giving up a lot of stuff underneath. And then in the second game, it's kind of more of the same. Now we've seen three games. They need to get this corrected, particularly obviously the running, you know, defending the run, but also just the dink and dunk stuff. You saw that today also.
But they gave that stuff up against Indy, and so they couldn't stop the pass against Indy and Baltimore. Really, they couldn't stop the run today. They haven't stopped anybody on third down all year. The only thing they've done is got some critical turnovers, and they. They've gotten after the passer okay.
Yeah, where's the pressure today?
There were some.
Some, but not, I mean, not for what I expected given what we've seen from the Bengals defensive line and the linebacking core, as well as, you know, it's a dinged up offensive line. Thought we would get some more pressure today.
And not only that, I mean, here's the thing. Now look at where you go. You got to go to Atlanta.
That's going to be trouble.
That's going to be tough. They've got it humming. And then you've got Miami, who is 3-0, for whatever you want to say about him, you maybe thought that was going to be your easiest game in the stretch.
Defense is sick.
And then you're looking at Pittsburgh and Kansas City's, you know, greatest show on turf right after that. This defense doesn't figure some things out in a hurry. It can get ugly real fast for them.
How much changes when Preston Brown and Perfect comes back, in your opinion?
Here's the thing. This was the first game where I felt like, man, they really miss Vontaze.
Yeah.
And now, assuming he comes back and can be that guy, I mean, they needed somebody who knew what he was doing out there and sniffing some stuff out, and a veteran who has seen this type of stuff before. Now, there's all kinds of questions there going forward, and we'll get into that more after the Atlanta game when he's going to come back against Miami. But you know, they needed guys that knew what they were doing today, and unfortunately, too many of those young guys that were out there didn't.
Well, that was just me trying to sprinkle some optimism in, because the injury thing, you can. But the Dre getting picked on relentlessly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's no easy answer there, because he was what, the fourth most targeted cornerback
coming into this game.
I would imagine he might have moved up after today, because I could. We've stopped counting how many times he got. thrown at.
And Carolina, you know, teams tend like to make their agenda clear on the first play of the game. First play, deep, right at Drake or Patrick. And then it became third down, it was find 27 and throw at him. And this has happened every game. And that's partially because people recognize how good William Jackson is, so they're not going to throw at him. And Darquez, I think, for the most part, has been holding it down in the slot. And you just wonder. But they don't. It's not like they have anywhere else they can go with this. And Dre has made some plays. He had another drop on what would have been a tough catch today, but still another pick that he could have had. And he has, you know, he breaks some things up. But it's clear the agenda of every team as they come in is to go after him. But that's one of those where you can only shrug because they don't have anywhere else to go. They don't have Adam Jones in the fourth corner role, or they don't have another young first-round pick in the pipeline right now. They have Tony McCray and Darius Phillips, who you want to see somebody get picked on, put those guys in the game.
You know, going back to the linebackers, yes, today you were right. Today was the first game that I really felt that they needed Tez. But Preston Brown has really provided a lot, like a good stopgap measure instead of Tez. And they missed him today. I think Preston Brown did some of that stuff in the first couple of games. He did sniff out some stuff. He was kind of on the ball, helmet on the ball.
He's played a lot of NFL snaps. And when you're facing a complicated assignment sound type of situation from a linebacker spot in particular, you need somebody who's been there and done that. And instead, you know, they had guys like Jordan Evans and Hardy Nickerson, who, God bless them, and I wrote about those guys this week. They've emerged a little bit and they look better, but they didn't have it today. And I honestly wonder, you know, clearly Vinny Ray has fallen out a little bit. I mean, I think we've seen that he's lost a step that was apparent in the offseason and in some of the preseason, and maybe the injury hasn't slowed him even more. I'll take a guy that's lost a step, but you know he's going to be in the right spot, over having the young kids. And I was surprised Vinny Ray didn't go to Vinny Ray sooner.
A guy like that, Vinny Ray, with the younger, faster linebackers around him. So he can kind of direct, he can kind of tell him, okay, this is what, you know, be a kind of coach on the field a little bit.
Yeah, and at a certain point, a slow guy in the right spot is better than what the hell else is going on out there. Right. I don't really care what's going on with Vinny Ray. So anyway, we'll obviously get to more. Make sure you check everything out at Cincinnati.com. Kareem's got galleries. We've got videos, post-game reaction from A.J. Green, who, to quickly update on that, A.J. says that he's okay and that he should play next week. I'd like to point out Joe Mixon said the same thing after the Baltimore game and he had surgery 2 days later. So trusting players and their opinions on their injuries is not great. A groin injury, we'll see what happens with A.J. He does not believe it to be serious. But, you know, clearly they missed him on that.
He was very dismissive, though, missing any time.
Like, he was.
He said he didn't hear anything pop, nothing broke. He just couldn't go.
A groin injury can linger, and so we'll see what happens with that. But read more. All at Fletcher has that. All on Cincinnati.com. You can read all about A.J. Green's thoughts on his injury and frustration and all that stuff. Kareem's got all the great photos. We have our post-game wrap video up. Make sure you check that out. I have analysis with every angle you could imagine covered, and then pick up tomorrow morning a story on some of the defensive stuff we just talked about and some of the mess they're kind of in that situation. So Doc's got his column up. He says we didn't learn much today. I think we'll learn more over the next couple of weeks if they don't fix some stuff, because like we mentioned with the schedule coming up, things can spiral in a hurry if they don't get some things figured out. But I think they created a buffer for themselves by winning those first two games, so this isn't an end of the world type of situation, but it can spiral quickly if they can't get it figured out. Alright, we've arrived. It's time for us to eat and have pops, because this is the pre-pop BBP, the PPBBP. Before the OG BBP, and then the BBP2, the Deuce. So many. How are we doing on acronyms, Fletcher? Have you in the BTS? Have you feel like you're starting to put it all together?
I just can't wait to get back to the PBS.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to work.
That's it. We'll be there tomorrow, grinding for you. So make sure you check all the content out. Get our Inquirer, Bengals, Apple, Buzz, Unipaco, whenever anything goes down. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you later.